The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Greetings everybody, and thanks very much for joining me for today's episode of Climate Matters. I'm Lindsay Wood, Director of Climate Strategy Company Resilience Limited, and Climate Matters is brought to you by Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Well, today we're going into Climate Matters 139, and here's what we're going to be covering, mainly a country life show with lots of interest on beer and beef and soil. That's the country life on Radio New Zealand I'm talking about. Nate Hagens with a walrus reality check for activists, something that might surprise us there. An older book that blew my socks off, and there's a sequel just coming. I've actually just got that. Bill McKibben, the well-known founder of 350.org, is an interview with him on renewable energy. It's got some amazing stats, plus what I've said is a blind spot, a musical quiz, a sort of musical quiz. And calling out Climate Matters 129's use of a visual capitalist energy graphic, at least a reader calling it out or me out. But first of all, a couple of things. This is the first episode that's going out after the local body elections, but I'm recording it before the elections close. So at the time of recording, like the rest of everybody, I don't know what the results will be. You'll know when you're listening to this. So be interesting to see where it all lands, won't it? Also, a particular welcome to Plains Media listeners, because you haven't been with us very long. I think this might be the third show. And for you, you might not realize that till early this year, Climate Matters always went out on a one-page PDF. It was quite distinctive. It was actually quite popular with readers. The request I always got was never move away from one page, but it was very congested. It had email problems. And in the middle of this year, I migrated onto Substack, which is what Climate Matters now goes out on. The reason I'm telling you all this is that Climate Matters had to move beyond a one-page format, even to have the same word count. Why? Because there was no choice of font size. Particularly any images went full width instead of being integrated within the text. And so inevitably it spilled longer. But I got a bit lax and wrote too much. And I had a couple of grumpy readers giving me some feedback saying, hey, what's happened to the length? But before we get going into the Climate Matters proper, I owe you all an apology, and particularly listeners in Canterbury. And as I mentioned, I'm fairly new on Substack. That's my nearest I have to an excuse for giving you the wrong URL for the Substack posts. So here's where you need to Google if you want to get on the Climate Matters Substack one. Climate Matters NZ, all one word, climatematters.nz.substack.com will get you to the homepage. climatematters.nz.substack.com. Apologies for giving you that incorrectly last time. Now, back to Climate Matters 139. So that's by way of segueing into my mini editorial. Thanks to readers pulling me up for length creep. Climate Matters 139, that's today's episode, tries to pull back closer to the Climate Matters of old. But full-width images are inevitable, as I mentioned. But a feature of Substack editions has been more penetrating reader comments, and that continues. That, in turn, prompts me to have a longer read response. So this time, on the hard copy, the reading copy, I always put the long read bit at the very end. If you don't want a long read bit, you can stop when it gets to the sign that says rabbit hole ahead. For listeners today, I hope we have enough time to go through the whole lot, including the long read. We'll just have to see where we get there. So, coming from the Can You Believe It files, beer and cattle decarbonize each other. in Radio New Zealand's Country Life. As always, we'll give links to these on the Fresh FM Climate Matters webpage. Radio New Zealand's Country Life is always a feel-good program, even when things are pretty tough, like for cattle in an Aussie drought. University of Technology in Sydney joined the dots between drought-stricken cattle surviving on brewery waste, I didn't know that, and the role of microalgae in reducing methane from cattle, and carbon dioxide from brewing being potential algae feedstock. A lot of loops in there, aren't there? Then microalgae that absorbs the brewery's carbon dioxide can add protein and carbohydrate to cattle feed while also reducing methane burps. How cool is that? But add in better animal health and improved meat quality, and it sounds like a winner. If you go to the link and check it out at 5 minutes 50 seconds in, that is the 29th of August, Country Life. And what's not to like about circular decarbonisation? So anyone for a low-carbon beer, eh? And then rolling on to another item from the same Country Life programme, but this time at 58 minutes 26 seconds in. That seems too far into me. That means that it's virtually in the last minute of a one-hour show. Sorry if I've got that time wrong. Anyway, the answer lies in the soil, and you'll hear, if you find the right bit of it, get the goss from a regenerative agriculture symposium held at Leaston in Canterbury. I don't know if any of our Canterbury listeners got along to that, and I'm quoting here from organiser Chloe Deer, "A lot of biology happens under the ground." She explains the benefits of deep-rooting plants that boost soil biology and allow farming that is, quotes, less intensive with lower inputs but still getting really good returns. That sounds good too. And the Soil Hub, another organisation, in fact, it's such a new organisation that its homepage still says launching soon. But scroll down a little on the homepage and you'll find a lot has already launched, including a link to the UK movie, quotes, 6 inches of soil, close quotes. We'll give links to both of those, the Soil Hub and to the movie. And now moving on, I'm going to give a quote from Bill McKibben, who we're coming to shortly in more detail. If a cargo ship is loaded with solar panels over its lifetime, that cargo will generate, wait for it, 500 times the energy of the same cargo of coal. That's Bill McKibben in an interview called "Why Is This Happening?" We will come to that shortly. Just wait for a minute or two. It's about the third item down. However, I want to jump tracks now into what I've called an amazing, not-so-new book that I couldn't put down. And even though Peter Brannan's book, The Ends of the World, is 8 years old, I hadn't read it. In fact, I'd never heard about it until a few weeks ago when I got it out of the library. When I did read it, I was so blown away. I emailed a rave review to my friends, and I don't think many of them had read it either. And maybe you haven't, so do try it. You don't need to be a climate geek to enjoy it. He's a remarkable writer. Here's a snippet from what I wrote about The Ends of the World. The Ends of the World is a geological and ecological tour de force that reads like a thriller, with a storyline and evocative language that any mystery writer would be proud of. And here's a quote, just a short quote from the book. When India crashed into Asia around 45 million years ago, this CO2 factory, in operation for tens of millions of years, shuttered its doors and the volcanoes went quiet. How cool is that for a description of continental drift? I've ordered a copy. In fact, it's arrived since I wrote this Climate Matters. And I've also got Brannan's just hit the shelves book called The Story of CO2 is the Story of Everything. It is sitting on my bedside table right now waiting for me to start reading it. It feels like another can't put it down sleepless night coming on. So thank you, Peter Brennan, I'm sorry. They do one extraordinary book, and I'm sure the second one won't disappoint me either. Right, a reality check we might not expect from Nate Hagans. Nate Hagans is one of my go-to climate commentators, as longer-term listeners will know. He has The Great Simplification for Deep Dives as a podcast, and Frankly for Shorter Pieces. You might think of them as editorials. The deep dives can range between about an hour and 3 hours, seriously, and the Frankly ones typically are 15 to 20 minutes. Sometimes they spill over a little bit longer. And just so that, I'll go back to what I've got in front of me. Having recently called out the myths of standard business school teaching, that is Hagans having called them out, and I'll give a link to that. And just for clarity, Hagans holds a master's degree with honors in finance. He's got a PhD in natural resources, and he had 10 years working on Wall Street. So he's got a pretty interesting mix of skill sets there, hasn't he? Anyway, having called out the myths of standard business school teaching, he posed himself the question, what would be the opposite of business school beliefs? And the answer he came to is the key blind spots of the Walrus movement. That's the name of the program that I'm referring to, and which in true Hagen's wide boundary thinking, because he's an absolute champion of wide boundary thinking, he looks at traditional climate villains through a very wide-angle lens. What sort of villains? Is profit bad? Are fossil fuel executives arch-villains? And can renewables replace fossil fuels, which are just a few of them? Also, what about capitalism? Here's a quote. Capitalism is just the latest software running on the human hardware. That's an interesting framing, isn't it? All we climate advocates and campaigners and activists and others should watch with an open mind and then think hard about what Hagans says. So, in other words, he's calling us out of it. We have to be a bit careful not to be stereotypical in our beliefs. Now, I said I'd come back to an interview with Bill McKibben. It's Bill McKibben on solar energy, in which he calls energy from heaven, not from hell. The hell bit, of course, being a play on the fact that the oil industry gets its stuff from under the ground. Pacey podcast host meets seasoned climate campaigner is my banner. The podcast host is Chris Hayes, and I've mentioned who Bill McKibben is. And boy, do they cover fascinating ground. Of course, there'll be a link to that. But like, for example, solar becoming so dominant, we should really stop calling it alternative energy. It's mainstream energy now. And get this for eye-watering stats. China is currently erecting photovoltaics at, can you believe it, 3 gigawatts per day. That's around 6 Benmore hydro schemes daily, folks. And the philosophical differences between the sun and cold, guess, here's the music quiz. Guess the two songs that epitomize that difference. Energy from heaven and not from hell. We'll give the answers in a couple of minutes. And there's lots more. It's a very fast-moving podcast. I hadn't heard Chris Hayes before. I'll be going back to listen to him again. A feature for me was how grounded Bill McKibben was in all of this and how well he could join the dots that we might not even realize were there. Easy viewing and, I think, important viewing. If I have one grizzle, and I said there was a blind spot, it's the portrayal that all this solar enabling our hyper-industrialized society to just keep on hyper-industrializing. It's time we reversed Jevons' paradox and stopped just maxing out our use of energy because we keep making it cheaper. Okay, so the hotter tip for a cooler planet is watch Nate Hagans or Bill McKibben or both. They stretch our minds in different ways and are super informative. Now, have you got your head around the two songs? One to do with solar energy and one to do with fossil fuels. Well, the solar one is the Beatles' well-known one, Here Comes the Sun. This is Bill McKibben's take on it. And the song for the fossil fuels is 16 Tons. That's an older one. And here's what it's from, I think it might be called, not a new Negro spiritual exactly, but you load 16 tons and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. And then, of course, here comes the sun. We all know what that's about. Right, well, we've got a little bit of time, so I'm just going to dip into the rabbit hole. So I'm looking at a sign on my newsletter, warning rabbit hole ahead. When a respected climate consultant calls you out, you take notice. And John is a respected climate consultant. He leads a major organization of climate people engaged in climate. When Climate Matters 130 came out with a visual capitalist graphic, and I have to say I've quite often used them, and it showed the world still 86.7% reliant on fossil fuels. Here's what John wrote to me. It's wrong. Visual capitalists shouldn't be your source. He noted the correct figure is 81.26%, not 86.7%. And he referenced Our World in Data, which I've also talked about. And he said it will soon fall under 80%. Now, might sound like splitting hairs to some of us, but in fact, John makes some good points. He also shared links to other authoritative sources and highlighted that the appalling inefficiency of fossil fuels means the real figure is more like 68% reliant on fossil fuels. What he's flipping that around, non-fossil fuels account for 32% of the actual work, with all the extra being wasted energy, wasted heat for the combustion of fossil fuels. So that's a very different picture from what the visual capitalist chart implied. So rabbit hole one, here's where I dived in, led to the source of the data for the visual capitalist chart. It was, and I quote, Energy Institute Statistical Review of World Energy 2025. That sounds pretty authoritative, doesn't it? But Google quickly triggered my BS antennae. The Energy Institute is, as of 2023, the home of the Statistical Review of World Energy, published previously for more than 70 years by BP. Hello? So, anyway, the next thing is, what source did Our World in Data use? Since my correspondent referred to that. And hello, it calls out the Energy Institute Statistical Review of World Energy 2025. So two different presentations using the same source, possibly a fossil fuel industry source. Why the difference? And John again offered a clue. Using what he called the substitution method to counter the primary energy fallacy. Got that? So I went down rabbit hole number three. Google's AI was completely off track on what the substitution method was. So, but then it did land me on another Our World in Data explainer. So much for AI. Anyway, here's an extract from Our World in Data. If you're struggling to follow this, I can well understand that. And here's an extract that Our World in Data gave, an extract from Our World in Data. In popular data sets, such as the Statistical Review of World Energy, published by the Energy Institute, and again, Our World in Data says formerly published by BP, they thought that was significant too, coal and gas are reported in their primary energy terms as the fuels going into the power plant. Got it? But this is not how renewable electricity, such as solar and wind, is recorded. It's reported in terms of the electricity output. So thinking about what this means, we're comparing the amount of energy generated by fossil fuels with all of the wasted heat to the amount generated by renewables without any wastage. So the point about there is John pointing to it being a much lower percentage of fossil fuels at 68%. I could go on. How about rabbit hole number five? A podcast called Just Have a Think. I'm not going to talk about it. I'll give a link to it. And then there's a whole lot more with a diagram from New Zealand's Energy Efficiency Authority, EECA, which is showing the relationship between battery trucks, hydrogen trucks, and fossil fuel trucks. And even they have a little bit of confusion about the source of it. So in the end, what are the main takeaways? One, not only check the data sources very carefully, but two, ensure you know how to interpret them. After all, we had two different lots of data derived from the same source and giving us different messages. And also, try not to be captivated by appealing visuals. And Visual Capitalist does have good visuals. So thank you, John, for calling me out on that. And thank you also, listeners, for joining me. And hopefully you survived that last little trail through the through the rabbit hole, or the rabbit warren it was, really, wasn't it? Well, I'm just wondering what the national elections are going to be like. Also, I want to give a plug here, and there is a bit in here for the Canterbury listeners, but mainly for Nelson. And it's soon, in a couple of days after this is broadcast, i.e. from the week starting, I think it's about the 12th of October, the Nelson Tasman Climate Forum runs its Climate Action Festival, or a week-long festival. It's got about 40 activities there, all sorts. Some are online, some are think fests, some are practical ones. And if you go to NelsonTasmanClimateForum.nz and then go to their events page, you will find a whole lot of amazing stuff. I think, as I said, nearly 40 activities of all sorts. So for Canterbury listeners, I hope that if that interests you, you'll find some online stuff that you think is worth joining into as well. So thank you again, and thanks as always for your company. As you know, Climate Matters is brought to you by Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Fresh FM broadcasts in Blenheim on 88.9, to Eastern Golden Bay on 95.0, to the Nelson CBD on 107.2, and across the Nelson Tasman region on 104.8. It's also streamed to the planet on freshfm.co.nz and podcasts of Climate Matters and other locally produced shows are available through freshfm.co.nz. Also, of course, out through Plains Media and their web pages and so on. So with that, thanks again for your company. I hope I enjoy it next week. And as always, kia kaha for the climate.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.